You and enjoy the Word of God. And I did want to highlight once again, meet the pastors for any of you that may have come in late. Next Sunday, directly after service, 12:15, we'll meet right over here in the East Wing. We'll have lunch set up for you and your family. Maybe you've been to meet the pastors, but you want to bring somebody to meet the pastors, you as well can show up there. Just make sure you mark that on your Connect card. We'll pick those up at the end of the service with the offering. Set that in the offering basket, and then we'll have a good head count on who's showing up so we make enough food for everyone that attends. So sign up for Meet the Pastors. It's a fun luncheon. You get to have lunch on us. It's free to you. It just costs you about an hour and a half of your time. So if you want to get to know us a little better, see why we do what we do at the Life Center, see when the Life Center was established, where it's been, where it's at now, and where it's going, what we feel God has given us as a vision here in the valley. So come get to know us a little more. Again, lunch is on us, so just come and enjoy. All right. We have fun things coming up for Thanksgiving. Make sure you put that on your calendar. Otherwise, we're going to jump into the Word. Wow, one person's excited about the Word of God today. Wow. We're going to go home and watch a football game. Okay. At least there were boos and not cheers. I mean, come on. Right? So we're still in our Daily Pursuit series, number 6. We're going to wrap it up right here today. I've titled today, Pass the Test. Who in here loves test? Okay, one person. The rest of you are honest. Tests can be a good thing, right? I like to test the battery on my smoke detector in my house and my carbon monoxide alarm system in my house. Tests are good, right? They tell us if things are in working order, right? How many like taking life tests? Not really, do we? We don't like being tested generally. Just as human beings, we don't like the testing. But you know what we do like? We like the results. Because when I was 11 years old, I got to take this test for hunter's safety. Guess what? I passed. So since then, I have been eligible to purchase a hunting license and go into the woods and enjoy the great outdoors and God's wonderful, tasty, delicious creatures. Because I passed a test, right? A little while later, about 14, I took another test for my driver's license and I passed again. So now they haven't made me retake the test, which is probably a good thing. Because my son, who just took the test, tells me I don't know a bunch of the rules of the road. But they allow me to purchase a driver's license so I can transport myself around the world. Right? So tests can bring about a result that we enjoy, though the taking of the test is often grueling and time-consuming and sometimes even challenging. But if we pass the test, we get to enjoy the result of what the test was proving. My ability to go forward and step up to the next level. So as we think about spiritual testing in our each and everyday lives, what test are you going through right now? Because for each of us, they're a little different right now. And if you compare your test to my test, they're not going to look the same. So we have to look at our own test. God, what are you trying to build and create in me? What are you trying to raise me up to in my next level of faith in you, of trust in you as my leader, as my guide? What are you doing in me? And how well am I taking the test? Because if we're not careful, we wind up like the Israelites and we're leaving bondage, slavery in Egypt, and we're heading to the promised land that God told us we get to receive, and instead of arriving at the destination He intended for us, We wander in the wilderness for 40 years and die off and don't get to inherit the promise because we didn't pass the test. They averaged a record-setting pace of 6 miles a year to get from where they started to where they should have ended up in a few days, at least a few weeks. But instead, they kept failing tests, so they had to keep going around the wilderness, had to keep going around the mountain. God gives promises to us in His Word, but there are some tests we have to take along the way. Our integrity has to be tested. Our character has to be tested. Our trustworthiness has to be tested. Our lying or truthful tongue have got to be tested. Our love for others has to be tested. Our compassion has to be tested. Go on and on with the attributes of God, because His attributes have to be tested through me and in me before I can up my level in them and my service to people around me. Right? So what test are you currently taking? I think mine right now is obedience in the small things. Little things that don't seem to matter but seem to be a really big deal to God right now. And it reminds me of this Bible verse, "He who I can trust with the small things, I will put over big things." So whatever God's preparing me for, how I see it, I don't always see clearly until God's done doing what He's doing. But I think He's preparing me for something big. But He wants to say, "Can I trust you here? Can 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 I trust you here?" And hopefully I keep passing the test and keep saying, "Yes, Lord, you can trust me. Because what I have is yours. So take it, use it, do what you want with it." In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it's a little tiny book at the end of your Bible. It's about 3 pages worth. Not always easy to find. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials or tests of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Why would we need perseverance? Because tests aren't easy, right? You have to endure to get across that finish line. "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." Do any of you want to be mature and complete and not lacking in anything? Then you need to start counting your testing, your trialing, as pure joy. I love it when life gets hard. Does anybody wake up saying that? I'm not to that point in my Christian walk yet. It's like, "Oh no, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. No, the testing just got a little more difficult today." Right? How's Arby going to respond to waking up on the wrong side of the bed? Clearly it's my bed's fault I didn't get a good night's sleep. Right? I didn't do that. No, but count it pure joy when you're going through a test or a trial, because it is God working out your salvation inside of you, perfecting you, creating you to be the man or woman He's called you to be. The testing proves the worth. And we prove our worth to God, He promotes us. "I can trust you with a little bit more today, Arby, than I used to be able to trust you with." Right? He calls us a little bit higher. So again, what are you going through as a test today? Just this past week, we had this homeless girl stop by the church, need some help. And I called around to find some people that knew who she was, or at least knew of her, to see what her story was, if it was legit or not. And about everybody I talked to that knew her or of her said, run, 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 run. But God said, take care of her. Of course, I'm not going to bring her home to my home. So we put her up in a motel for a few nights. I get a call from the motel manager. Just want you to be aware, this person's damaged the room. There's some extra expenses. Which was my first thought, that we shouldn't give this gal a room. In my humanity, my worldly thinking says, don't do it. But when I talk to God about it, God says, I want you to bless this young lady and show her my love. So for me, it was a test. Am I going to pass and say yes, even though everything inside of me says no? Everybody I talk to says no. But you're saying, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. So it's costing a little extra money for me to give God my yes. But are we obedient to what He's calling us to do? Not because it makes sense here, but because it makes sense here. From God to me. Because some things He asked me to do don't make sense here. It's like, God, this you don't understand the world, obviously, God. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't He tell us in His Word that His ways are higher than our ways? So I don't know what seed was planted in that young lady's life. She's a mess right now, so you can pray for her. Because that's what I'm doing. But God wanted seed sown into her life. Maybe the rest of the world has shut its doors on her. I don't know. But I know God wanted love planted, where it would have been really easy to say, sorry, can't help you, see you later. Right? So I don't know what God's doing there, but pass the test. The tests are before you. Pass them with grace, with honor, with love. Mark chapter 10. Talk about a young man in the Bible here. Is that okay if we use the Bible in church? Yeah. Everyone's cool with that? I do teach from the North Idaho version, the NIV. Some of you are still getting that. It's the new international version, really, but I like to call it the North Idaho version. Right? So Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 31. This passage is titled, The Rich and the Kingdom of God. As Jesus started on His way, a man ran up to Him and fell on his knees before Him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. Hopefully all of you passed that test this week. Do you know that's a test? Don't murder. And we're not even supposed to think murderous thoughts. Right? So we should be passing that test continually. You shall not commit adultery. Hopefully we're all passing that test as well. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. These are all tests that we should be passing daily, every day, each and every day of our lives. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to His disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at His words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Sometimes we've been passing tests with flying colors. Just as this rich young ruler, all my life, I've done all those things. I've got A pluses. I'm a 4.20. Not just a 4.0, I'm above average. I'm a good test taker. But then he comes to this test. And if we don't continue passing the test before us, what were all the other tests for? If we stop taking tests, we're passing tests, we're doing what God's requiring or asking of us in our daily pursuit of Him, what were all the other tests for? This young man goes away, "Oh, I can't do that. I can't sell everything I have and give it to the poor." I don't know what his spiritual state was or where he ended up. But I do know that God continually calls us higher. And until we walk into the throne room of grace and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I have tests to take." And he's going to continually call me higher and higher to the next level in him. So don't stop doing what is right. Persevere and push through. Daily pursue until you hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well done. We don't get to retire from ministry. And each one of you is a minister of the Word of God. You're a walking, living testament of the Word of God. As a Christian, you're His ambassador throughout the earth, wherever we go. And we bear witness to His greatness, to His faithfulness, to His love, to His mercy. But we've got to go show the world through our actions, through our deeds, through our words. That's how we present the Word to the world. They see us in living flesh. I love this part because often I get in a test and I think, "God, it's impossible. It can't happen." And in verse 27, Jesus looks at them and says, "With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." This is like the answer key for your test. Because if I start looking at Arby and focusing on what Arby can accomplish, it's impossible. Can't be done. But if I look in the answer key, what does the Word of God tell me? In red letters, which means Jesus speaking, it says all things are possible through God. So if I'll bring God into my testing situations of life, all things then become possible for me. And I can overcome, I can persevere, and I can get an A-plus on the test. I still have to endure it. Later on in the passage, it talks about you're going to have all these things added to you and persecutions. Ugh. I don't, like, can we take that out of the verse? Is that possible? I don't think so, because Jesus said it. So yes, we have to endure the persecutions along with the blessings. And they will come, and the Word tells us they'll come. But guess what? Greater is He who's in me than he who's in the world, who persecutes the brethren or the sons and daughters of God Most High. Satan. What's Satan a part of? The world. So God in me is greater than Satan in this world. And I can overcome persecution. I can overcome the test. I can move on to the next level of who God wants me to be as His son. You can do the same. It's not limited to people with the name Arby, because that would be a really small group of people, because I've yet to meet another one. And I've Googled me. So continue to persevere until you hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Another character I want to look at in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, Zacchaeus. Of course, this rich young ruler, he served God with his whole life. He passed his test. This man Zacchaeus, he didn't serve God with his whole life. But when he meets Jesus, he has some life changes ahead of him. So in Luke chapter 19, verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So Zacchaeus, on the other hand, has been failing tests most of his life. Fail, 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 fail. The crowd knew him as the town sinner. Jesus has gone to eat with the local sinner, or the local tax thief, or whatever you want to call him. But Jesus just being there presents him with the test. "Do you believe who I am, who I say I am?" He says, "Look now, Lord, I give half of everything I own to the poor." That's his response. "I know I failed every other test in life, but I want to pass this one. I want to inherit the kingdom of God. I want to inherit salvation." He says, "And I'm going to pay back everyone I've ever ripped off. Not just what I ripped them off, but four times the measure." This is true repentance coming out of Zacchaeus. The true test of who we are. Does it belong to me or does it belong to the Lord? Zacchaeus immediately realizes it belongs to the Lord anyway. So I'm going to just give it away. Sometimes we need that realization in our life when we're taking a test. The test is the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. The victory is the Lord's. The test is the Lord's. Just take the test with grace, with integrity, with great character, showing that God is love. He's merciful. He's compassionate. He's kind. He is who He says He is. So decide today to change your future. Do you know you can change your future by the decisions you make today? For better or for worse, you can make decisions today that will impact the rest of your future. But you and you alone have to make those. Zacchaeus did this day. He was standing up just like Joshua did. "As of this day, me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord." Zacchaeus has taken a stand in life. We have to do that ourselves also. Also, he takes responsibility for himself. He says, "Hey, I've sinned, I've done wrong, but I'm going to give it away, I'm going to repay, I'm going to make it right." We have to take responsibility for ourselves. Because nobody made you do it. Satan didn't make you do it. Your parents didn't make you do it. Your kids didn't make you do it. You chose to do it because of how they reacted. Right? We still have that choice. I still have the power of choice in any situation I'm in to give glory to God, to give honor to God, or to disgrace His name and make Him look schizophrenic. Right? It doesn't matter what other people are doing to me or around me. I still have a choice to respond properly that gives honor and glory to God in all my situations. And I wish I could say, yes, I passed every one of those tests, but I haven't. I've failed some. It's like, ugh. And then I have to humbly come back to people and repent and say, I'm sorry, I was not acting like Christ. I was acting like Arby. So please don't think God is who that guy was, because He's not. He's way more awesome than that. Right? Because we can't just screw up a test and then not fix it. We have to go back, get the right answers. And we have to go tell people, I'm sorry, I was not acting like Jesus. I know I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to, but I was not. I was foolish, I was out of line, and I was acting exactly like Arby without Jesus. Right? But we as Christians have got to go make those things right. Zacchaeus, he's passing this test with flying colors. He's making things right. He's saying, God is great and I'm not. We need to make great decisions. Start making great decisions today. Okay, it doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter if you failed every test that's been before today. Start passing tests from this day forward. This is what Zacchaeus chose. My past doesn't define me. My future will define me. And from this day forward, I'm making new decisions. I'm making new choices. I'm going to serve God with all that I have, starting right here with all my possessions. That's what Zacchaeus says this day. Approach every test with all you have. It's not a very big test. I'll just, give it half-hearted. I passed. 61's pretty good on a test. Right? It's passing. Right? I got through. No, it's not acceptable. Not to God. He says, do everything your hand finds to do with all your might as unto the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. I'm not working for you. I'm not working for me. I'm working for Him. And He deserves my very best every time, in every situation. So make declarations. Declare the Word of God, His promises over your life, over your family. Make declarations. Zacchaeus stood up and was bold this day. He was obviously a very wealthy man. He says, you know what? As of this day forward, we're living differently. We're going to live as though we're a son or daughter of God Most High. We're going to live according to His promise and His provision. And we're going to start treating people right. It's funny, I counsel people all the time. They're like, well, just nobody likes me. Nobody's friendly to me. But when you engage in conversation with them, everybody they talk about, they talk down to or down at. They talk poorly of. They're rude. They're snarky. They're sarcastic. They never have a kind thing to say. They're not friendly at all. But guess what the Word of God says? To have a friend, you must show yourself friendly. Right? So if you don't have many friends, or friends seem to come and go real regular, you might want to look at yourself. Say, how's Arby doing? Is he treating people well? Is he showing people a friendly face or giving a friendly word when he walks by? Because if I want friends, I have to be friendly first. That's a test we need to pass. Because for some of us, we're introverts, and some of us, we're extroverts. But for all of us, we're supposed to represent Christ well. And so for some of us introverts, we have to actually get out and meet people and be kind and nice. And for some of us extroverts, we have to tame it down a little so we don't scare people. Right? Hey, you want to be my friend? Come over and play. Come on, come on, come on. They're like, oh, get away from me. You're weird. Right? But for all of us, we have to be like Jesus, treating people with love and compassion and sincerity, and valuing them for who they are, where they're at, in that moment of life, regardless of what they're going through, regardless if they've been a sinner and flunked every test in their life like Zacchaeus. Jesus still walked up and said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house for lunch." Right? He treated Zacchaeus as who he saw him to be, who God created him to be. And if we can look beyond someone's situation and circumstance and see who God intended for them to be, we'll treat them much differently in the situation today than we'll treat them later in life. So give your best. God is worthy of your very best. I have a friend, one of my best friends growing up. He's in prison still. But you know what? He found Jesus. Amen. And we helped send him to rehab. We raised the money, paid for him to go to rehab, and in rehab he found Jesus. Got out of rehab, went and made a few more mistakes, passed or failed some tests. But I got to talk to him yesterday morning, and he is so jacked about Jesus and leading Bible studies in the prison and leading people to Christ. And he says, "Tell the Life Center I love them and just thank them for all they've done for me and just turning my life around and sending me to a place where I can meet Jesus. And I can't wait to get out and start telling more people about him." I mean, you could look at his life before that and go, fail, 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 fail. But all they need to do is pass one test. The test of acknowledging, I need a Lord, I need a Savior, because I'm not enough on my own. And I need to serve someone bigger than me. I need to serve the King. And once they pass that test, they're on a whole new road. They're on a whole new direction of life. They're becoming the man and woman that God has created them to be. But if we don't help them get to that first test, they're going to live a life of failed test. So we've got to look at them with the eyes of Jesus. Zacchaeus, I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I'm coming to your house today. And salvation came to his household that day. Because Jesus was seeing the future Zacchaeus, not the past Zacchaeus. Sometimes we get hung up in the past. And we forget to move ahead to the future. But God has a future in store for each and every one of us that's here and not here. When you walk down the street and look at people, God has a future in store for each and every one of those individuals that you will encounter and meet. And if we can see them with those eyes, we'll treat them a whole lot differently. We'll show them a whole lot more love, a whole lot more compassion. I have a lot of notes left. Just trying to decipher which ones to use. Sometimes in taking tests, we get caught up in seeing how everyone else is doing in their test. We forget to keep track of our own test. We say, "Well, his test was easier than mine. Well, he's already through and going on to the next one. What's going on?" So I have three children who are all amazing test takers. And they all like to hunt. So my middle daughter, Selway, I've been taking her out for a few hours here, a few hours there, looking for a whitetail. And she's passed on several deer. But then I take her brother out one morning in about an hour and a half, 2 hours, boom, he shoots a nice buck. His test is over. Right? And then I have a little one, Brielle, who's 8, almost. Well, actually, she's practicing to be 8 in 2 weeks. She's really 7. At least that's what she'll tell you. And she's like, "When do I get a hunt? I want to hunt. I want to go." And she's been telling me this for years. Right? So she can't even get to take the test yet because she's not old enough. But in our spiritual life, it's the same way. And if we don't just focus on where I'm at, where God has me, what test He has me taking right now, we'll lose focus and we'll go, oh, well, my big brother got his buck so early. And then we can be little sister going, well, I don't even get to take a test. Right? And we can find ourselves whining and complaining instead of being satisfied with where God has us at in the moment we're in. And if we're not daily pursuing Him and that relationship with Him, we miss that because we're so caught up in everyone else's test taking. And then we forget to take our own. Right? In school, I was 4 days apart from one of my cousins. And so it was always a competition with us all through school, sports, academic, everything. And she hated me. Because when it came to test taking, I wouldn't study. I'd be like, I can pass that. I don't need to work at it. And she would study for hours, multiple nights a week leading up to a test. And we'd take the test, and usually I got a better grade than her. And she still talks about it to this day. I mean, she still was a 4.0 student. She still got great grades, but she would do all the extracurricular bonus points and everything. She would always be, how do you do it? Some of my tests come easy to me. Some of my tests are very difficult for me. It's that same way for each and every one of us. So if we will just not compare ourselves with others, we'll just say, Lord, what test do you have me taking today? Give me perseverance. Give me strength to overcome the challenges, the obstacles, the persecution that stands before me, that your light may shine through me to those around me. And if we could just encourage and lift up and inspire those around us, say, hey, you're doing great. What can I pray for you about or pray for you with? What's going on in your life? I want to encourage and strengthen you so you get through your test rather than worry about, well, he got through his test already, right? I got to meet with another pastor in the valley this week, have lunch with him, pray with him, just encourage one another. Not compare who has a bigger church, who has better people, even though you know I do. You guys are amazing. You guys are amazing. The rest of you are hunting. You'll hear this on the internet or the CD. Of course, I told him I'm blessed to be here. And our valley is blessed to have him in the valley as a pastor. But we just strengthened and encouraged one another. Shared a few prayer requests with one another. Prayed for one another. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Helping each other get through the test rather than comparing our test against the others. So don't compare your test. I had a pretty severe test last week, at least for me it was. I had a nightmare Saturday night. Of course, nightmares aren't good when you're trying to deliver the Word of God the next day, right? So in my dream, I was walking up here. I got about the second or third step up and my mind just went blank. Didn't know what I was supposed to talk about, what was going on. And I thought, oh, I have my notebook. And I got up here and I opened my notebook. And it was blank. I thought, oh, well, at least I have the Word of God. I opened my Bible and everything was blank. So this tormented me all through the night Saturday. Of course, wake up Sunday morning and it's still like haunting. It's weighing heavy on me. Like, what if this really happens? Right? Like, what am I going to do? It was like tormenting. It was a test I had to endure and get through it. Because I've been doing this 16 years and it still scares me to death to get up here and give announcements. Let alone the message. It's a test for me every time I climb on stage. Will I be obedient to your call on my life? Because in high school in speech class, I would take a zero before I would get in front of class and give my speech. I'm not joking. But when it's about me, I can say no. When it's about Him, I have to say yes. If I'm wise at all, I have to say yes to the test. Say, God, I want to be who You want me to be, not who I want me to be, not who those around me want me to be. I want to be who You want me to be. And if I look to His Word, it helps me stay in the race. Helps me continue on in what He's called me to do, because it's full of insight, it's full of wisdom. And guess what happens when we pass the test? We have a testimony. We are a walking testament. There's the Old Testament in here, there's the New Testament, and then there's the Arby Testament. Or put your name in there. Okay? We are a walking testimony or testament of God's grace, of God's goodness, of God's glory, of His love, of His mercy, of His forgiveness. What do you do with your testament or your testimony? The Word tells us in Revelations that they overcame the enemy or the devil by the blood of the Lamb, which we know the Lamb is Jesus Christ, and He's already given His blood. So to mix with that blood, we need a testimony. We've got to be that testimony coupled with the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and we can overcome the enemy, which means you and I can pass the tests that are presented before us. Just remember this, when you pass your test, it turns it into a testimony of who God is. So endure the test, pass it, daily pursue a relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Go home and pass your test. Thank you, Wayne.